Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yes, indeed, it is the latest edition of the Announcer Schedules podcast. And no, I am not Mike Gill, because Mike is taking a well-deserved vacation week. I am merely the somewhat capable fill-in, TJ Reeves, part of the Last Word on Sports media podcast feed here. So Phil DeMond-Mullen was looking around. Baker Mayfield wasn't available because the Bucs just signed him. There's a bunch of NCAA tournament teams that aren't available to come in. So he said, hey, TJ, can you come in here? Can you help me out? Hello, Phil. And it's great to be hanging out with you on the Announcer Schedules podcast.
Yeah, and what an exciting time for us to get together, TJ. March Madness, here we are.
You don't happen to have Baker Mayfield's phone number, because everybody else wants that right now in Tampa Bay, as that signing has happened right as we're releasing this podcast. We're recording it and releasing it as we do. By the way, thank you for finding Phil and me on this edition. However you found this podcast, through a social media link, great work with Phil and his Announcer Skeds Twitter handle. Whether you found us through the lastwordonsports.com and their podcast feed and their website, thank you for finding us. Again, Mike is typically here with Phil. You guys do a fantastic job. They need to be following or subscribing to Last Word on Sports Media podcast feed, and they'll get more content like this as well through Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts. Thank you for doing that. On the show, lots of March Madness, as well as some other things. We've got World Baseball Classic going on, little NBA, little NHL, but a lot of it's going to be dominated by March Madness and the announcers announcing in and around the conference tournaments, the NCAA tournaments, men's and women's. So, Phil, it's great to be with you. It's our time of the year. If you're a fan of college sports, of college hoops, this is it. This is Nirvana. This is what March is all about, and the mayhem of March is all about.
Yeah, and if you're a fan of the broadcast too, this is the time of year where you have more than, you know, you could ever dream of. You know, there's multiple games going on at once on, you know, network television. You've got NIT happening over on the ESPN family of networks. You've got the women's tournament. You've got these other smaller tournaments that have popped up, which are even more opportunities for announcers. So it just goes on and on, the abundance of college hoops. College hoops, for what I do in terms of, you know, following the broadcast, following the announcers, is probably my favorite sport, just because of the volume and because of, you know, the ability to work the remote. You know, is my college hoops, I think, is the best in this time of year. It doesn't get any better.
The smoke coming out of the remote, or as I like to say, just get a couple of wires like an IV into a vein for all of these games, all of these screens. And I will say, you do such a tremendous job. I utilized your Twitter handle last night because I was out of pocket and listening to the Westwood One broadcast. And I said, I know that's John Crispin as the analyst who I worked with briefly at Fox Sports Radio a decade ago, Phil. I'm going, who is the play-by-play guy? I think I recognize that voice. I'm testifying right here on the Announcer Schedules podcast. I went to the Twitter handle and found out that it was Ted Emmerich working the first four games, the NCAA tournament games, for Westwood One. That's how valuable what you do is on Twitter, on social media, and also through this podcast, illuminating the announcers and the broadcasters. I say bravo to you. Bravo to you on a March edition, because I was able to find it right there with the info.
And that's what we try to provide with that Twitter feed, is, you know, simply a viewer's guide on any given night that you can check out, you know, who's calling the game. You can, you know, give kudos and that kind of thing. I know it's been useful to a lot of the announcers as well, you know, as far as, you know, just kind of teeing them up so they can, you know, report on wherever they might be. And, you know, I'm happy to provide the service. I enjoy it. You know, like someone was asking me about it the other day, TJ, and I equated it to people who do crossword puzzles. you know, it's just sort of like it kind of gets my mind going. It's what I do. I just kind of do my research and kind of put together the notes and that kind of thing. And I was doing it even before the Twitter feed as just a guide for myself to follow the games and follow the announcers and kind of keep things straight as I'm working those remote controls. And it's been a lot of fun to be able to share it with the public. And, you know, I hopefully it's helped the industry and, you know, a lot of folks, you know, who have been able to utilize it.
You do a fantastic job with it. I prop you up whenever I get the chance. So while we are right there, why don't we talk about a little March? Let's have some fun right at the top here, because you know this. You helped promote this. I had the privilege of working not one but three conference tournament title games for TuneIn and national radio last week, including UNC Asheville's Big South title win in Charlotte, Northern Kentucky's Horizon League title win that came in Indianapolis. And then we came to Saturday night in Atlantic City, New Jersey, the Metro Atlantic Athletic Conference title game. That's the wheelhouse of the unelected mayor of Atlantic City, Mike Gill, who hosts this podcast with you. So I got into the Godfather's realm there in Atlantic City. But better than me telling you about this, Phil and audience, here's some of Mike Gill doing the play-by-play. He and I alternated some play-by-play on the MAAC title game. This is Mike Gill calling Iona Marist for the automatic bid. Now some critiquing of Mike Gill upcoming. Here you go from TuneIn.
Ferris between the circles, backs up. Harris on the left wing. Harris all the way to the basket, kicks it into the corner. Seven to shoot, spinning towards the basket, loses the handle. Gardner for three, got it to go! Patrick Gardner, his second three of the night, makes it 42-39 with 12:31 to play.
How about my man Gill all over it, animated with the call on that play and with a lot of the play-by-play calls. So, again, add him to the announcer schedules list doing play-by-play, not just the host of this podcast on TuneIn. It was a thrill to be around him and to watch Rick Pitino's Iona team get the win, Phil.
Yeah, and I know that's a bit of an untraditional venue you guys were at, that Boardwalk in Atlantic City. Tell us a little bit about the logistics there.
So it's Boardwalk Hall right on the boardwalk. It is probably a 60 or 70 year old building that's been renovated in the last 15 or 20 years. They used to have the Miss America pageant, hello, there for about four decades. And now that tournament has done a short-term deal and is now actually re-upped to be in there. The Atlantic 10 has previously played its conference tournaments, men's and women's, in that building. It's more of like a convention center, not so much of a basketball arena where the seats around the court go straight up like a basketball or hockey arena does. It was an interesting venue, and they had probably 4,000 or 5,000 fans. A lot of it Iona, Marist, not too far away for their fans to drive in. They had a losing record, Marist, but they won three games in three nights to get to the title game. They had some fans. We had a great time, and Mike did a fantastic job. Public props to Mike for helping out with everything on that broadcast for Iona's win there in the tournament. So how about that? Mike Gill leads off the announcing on the Announcer Schedules podcast on a play-by-play call.
Yeah, there's a twist to the podcast right there off the top. And, you know, it was great that you guys were able to get together and provide that broadcast. You know, whenever these teams are clinching the, you know, championship of these tournaments, it's the automatic bid to the tournament, the big one, the big dance. And you can just feel the emotion. I was in Asheville for the SoCon championship a week prior, TJ.
Wow.
I got to feel that. I'm very gracious, a guest of Westwood One for it. And I got to sit as a fan, but then I got to go down there to the court, you know, during the trophy presentation and all that. And you could feel the energy when, you know, the Furman Paladins, you know, clinched their ticket to go to the big dance. And, you know, it's a big deal, these conference tournaments, and really cool that you were able to do a few of them and that you guys were able to get together in AC.
And again, in that setting, Furman got revenge on Tennessee Chattanooga, who a year ago beat them on a 3-point shot at the buzzer to knock them out of the NCAA tournament. Now they come back around 52 weeks later and beat Chattanooga and go to the tournament themselves for the first time since Jimmy Carter was the president. And I know President Carter is in hospice care in his 90s, but it has been a while for Furman. March of 1980, Ronald Reagan had not yet been elected yet. That is crazy on the last time Furman has gotten in the tournament. So you mentioned that. All right, so the first four is underway. Tom McCarthy and Avery Johnson have been doing that on True TV. We're about to get to the Thursday and Friday games with the different announcer pairings. It's interesting on the Thursday, Saturday games, Jim Nantz, Bill Raftery, Grant Hill, and Tracy Wolfson as the number one crew. They're in Birmingham, where top seed Alabama is, and top seed in the Midwest bracket, Houston. Both of them are in the same pod, even in different brackets. So let's begin with all the announcers that we're going to see on CBS, TNT, TBS, True TV. What stands out with these different announcer pairings? Go ahead, Phil.
Yeah, it's a lot to sort out, obviously. So, you know, the way I kind of organize them is who's at what site. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you mentioned Birmingham with, you know, the number one team with Nantz, Raftery, and Hill and Wolfson. You know, that 12:15 on Thursday, Maryland and West Virginia, to me, that is the, you know, the crescendo of all this madness where, you know, everyone is all pumped up. They can't wait to tune in. People are, you know, getting out of their offices, doing whatever it takes to get to a sports bar or to hide out with their phone or whatever, yes. Whatever it takes at 12:15 Eastern time on Thursday. And, you know, kind of cool that the number one team, Nantz's final, you know, year as mm-hmm. the voice of the Final Four and so forth, gets kicked off there. Orlando, you know, which is, you know, up your way, of course, Virginia, Tennessee, Duke, and San Diego State, you know, the big teams in that one. That's the Kevin Harlan, Dan Bonner, and Stan Van Gundy, who is new to the mix. He'll working his first NCAA tournament. He'll be there. Two of those games on True TV, the two afternoon games, and then the two evening games are on CBS. And then Thursday, Saturday in Sacramento, that's Nestler, Brendan Haywood, and Dana Jacobson. And then in Des Moines, where Kansas and Texas, I'm sure we'll have some huge crowds, Brian Anderson, Jim Jackson, and Allie LaForce. You know, the pairings go on, you know, to Friday, of course. We can go over those also.
We'll do that in a second, but let's go back. I will have a chance to be in Orlando, God willing, because it's about 70 miles from me in Tampa Bay, where I'm based, Phil. So I don't know that I'll get to hear a lot of that pairing, but it's interesting that Stan Van Gundy, primarily known as an NBA coach and an NBA analyst, but this is the influence of Turner, what's now Warner Discovery. That's the parent company, Warner Discovery. But the Turner influence from the NBA has Van Gundy, and I love Dan Bonner and have for 25 years, has such great insight. Kevin Harlan, fantastic. I enjoy all of these different announced pairings, but I think I'm going to have a lot of fun hearing some of that when I get a chance to hear it.
Yeah, I really love what Stan Van Gundy brings to the table. I mean, he'll bring a lot of, you know, color, I'm sure, to that broadcast. And, you know, you mentioned Dan Bonner, and what's sticking out to me is this is an NBA heavy, you know, group. And part of it is sort of the roster that, you know, Turner and you know, Warner Brothers has. But you look at the announcers who are calling these games, and the majority of them, I don't think, you know, spent the majority of the last few months calling college basketball necessarily,
right?
You know, some of them had NBA, you know, duties. A lot of them are just coming off of a big NFL or college football slate, that kind of thing. Some of them came in towards the end of the year, you know, working conference championships in those last couple weekends, you know, to kind of get in the flow and that kind of thing. But it's a handful of announcers. And on those Thursday, Saturday pairings, Bill Raftery, Dan Bonner, and Jim Jackson, who does both NBA and college hoops, are ones who I would put in the category of, hey, these guys worked, you know, a ton of college hoops during the season. Also, Stephen Bardo on Westwood One comes to mind. He'll be doing the action from Birmingham with Brandon Gaudin, who was just named the voice of the Braves. So, yeah, you know, like the majority of these guys aren't like college hoops gurus, or, you know, right, aren't the ones, you know, living and breathing the sport throughout the year. So that's sort of a bit interesting, but obviously these are all top of their craft professionals because they get those NBA assignments and NFL assignments as well.
And they sprinkle them in with college themed announcers. Like Kevin Harlan obviously does a couple of CBS games usually prior to the tournament and has been doing the tournament for so long and has been doing college basketball on CBS for so long, including radio previously for Westwood One of the NCAA tournament as well before that. So he's intertwined there for Van Gundy to come in. You mentioned Jim Jackson because Brian Anderson is primarily known as an NBA announcer or more prominently as a Major League Baseball announcer. But Jim Jackson's been working all these college games in the Big Ten and in the Big East and knows the different teams and the different matchups, including having worked the Big Ten tournament or having worked the Big East tournament this past weekend, won by Marquette. So you sprinkle those in for the Thursday cruise. Let's go on to the Friday cruise at the different sites in Columbus, Greensboro, Denver, and Albany. Four more crews for the television networks and the Westwood One radio networks. What stands out, Phil DeMont-Mollen, looking forward to 16 more games on Friday of this NCAA tournament?
Yeah, well, Andrew Catalan and Steve Lapp's team certainly stand out because they are one that is singularly focused on college basketball during the college basketball season. These guys get an assignment every week, and they're always paired together. You know, usually play-by-play and analysts, you know, in college sports often are, you know, especially college hoops, you see a lot of different pairings and that kind of thing. But Catalan and Lapp's have, I forget the number, but it's a long streak that they have going. And we had Catalan as a guest on this podcast, you know, last summer, and he was able to kind of talk about that chemistry and so forth. So, you know, I that's what immediately comes to mind. And, you know, the Westwood One team also in Columbus, Kevin Kugler and Jordan Cornett, those are two guys doing a high volume of college hoops. Jordan Cornett's a fairly new name, but Kugler, boy, does he stay busy during the college basketball season. He also is an NFL, you know, guy as well, does college football also, but he is doing multiple Big Ten Network games every week during the weekdays. And then he, you know, usually hits something, you know, maybe on Fox Sports One or, you know, that kind of thing on the weekend. So, you know, he certainly knows his way around college basketball as much as anyone. Other ones that come to mind, you know, you look at Greensboro, Ian Eagle, who's going to, you know, succeed Jim Nance, you know, as that primary voice. Jim Spanarkle, I mean, speaking of a veteran college basketball authority, Eagle and Spanarkle have that long history together from their days with the Nets. You know, so they have a ton of chemistry. In Denver, there's the Lisa Byington, Steve Smith, Avery Johnson team. Andy Katz is the reporter there, certainly, you know, a college basketball authority. And then in Albany, which is the 5-12 and 4-13 games, where, you know, you would have those ones circled as potential upsets. You know, no doubt you want to keep your eye on that. Spiro Dedis, Deb Antonelli, and AJ Ross, and the Westwood One team of Scott Graham and PJ Carlissimo are there in Albany. So, you know, some interesting pairings again to the Friday Sunday, but, you know, the same sort of thing pops out to me as far as, you know, this blend of NBA voices along with these college basketball voices. It even extends to Westwood One in Denver. You know, Dave Pasch handling the play-by-play with Fran Fraschilla on analysts.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of interesting, you know, getting these guys together. Obviously, all these names, absolute pros, they're going to handle it very, very well. But to me, it's interesting, the guys who have spent that much time in college basketball, perhaps, you know, they might know a few more of the, you know, the inner workings of some of these teams.
The conversation continues again in a moment, but first let's tell you about our friends at Ticket Smarter and the Ticket Smarter mobile app. If you are looking to go to any of those NCAA tournament sites this weekend, whether that's all the way up in Albany, New York, all the way out to Sacramento, California, or anywhere in between, from Birmingham to Columbus, Ohio, to Des Moines, Iowa, to Orlando, Florida, any of those locations, think about using Ticket Smarter to get into those March Madness games. And the reason you want to do that is they've got a 100% guarantee on customer service satisfaction and your purchase, and the most competitive prices on the secondary market as well. Just find Ticket Smarter, the Ticket Smarter mobile app, and we're going to make it worth your while as well. Take $10 off your order with our promo code HOOPS23. That's HOOPS23 for $10 off your order, and you can use this as many times as you want with Ticket Smarter and the mobile app. Again, you've got great customer service, you've got a 100% guarantee, the most competitive prices on the secondary ticket market for all these great games, the mayhem of March and the madness, not just here, but the Sweet 16 Elite 8 round that's coming, Final Four in Houston. Remember Ticket Smarter and the Ticket Smarter mobile app. We want you to think smarter, ticket smarter, and take $10 off with our promo code HOOPS23. No doubt. And just to go back over a couple of them that you mentioned, Ian Eagle and Jim Spanarkle have been doing the NCAA tournament on CBS and now the Turner fleet of channels for 25 years, going back to the beginning, late 90s, beginning of the 2000s. That's a rock solid team, as you mentioned. And also Lisa Byington, very fascinating. She has really come into her own as an NBA announcer now, but previously was doing this work with the NCAA tournament over the last couple of years, including calling the great upset of Abilene Christian, ACU, upsetting Mighty Texas. Lisa Byington was on the call. This gives us a good chance to get a couple of plugs in for our buddy George Offman and his Tell Me a Story I Don't Know podcast. That's on this podcast feed, Last Word on Sports Media. If you search this podcast feed for the name Lisa Byington, just go under the search queue, wherever you get your podcast, and put Lisa Byington's name in, you'll hear the full conversation that George had with her. She's got Chicago ties, played high school basketball, I believe, in Chicago, and eventually became a broadcaster, and now is the voice of the Milwaukee Bucks, but is also a college basketball voice for the coverage on Turner's stations and CBS. So Lisa Byington, again, with Steve Smith, Avery Johnson, and Andy Katz are in Denver. Keep an ear on her. And by the way, while we're here, can we plug one more time, Phil, that Greg Gumbel, who is synonymous with the studio show of the NCAA tournament with Clark Kellogg and with Seth Davis, Greg Gumbel is the guest, part two of a conversation with George on Tell Me a Story I Don't Know. It's two podcasts before this one on the feed, or search the name Gumbel, G-U-M-B-E-L, G-U-M-B-E-L. Search that name. You'll hear Greg Gumbel telling great stories about working the studio for CBS's March Madness. I'll even tease for you, Phil DeMont-Mollen. Greg Gumbel was there in 1990 in Denver, had worked the tournament for CBS that year. And that's when the news came out that Brent Musburger could not agree to a new contract with CBS, and they were letting him go. Goodbye at the end of the Final Four. And in his own words, I'll tease it, Greg Gumbel describes coming up to Brent Musburger and having a conversation with him in Denver prior to the UNLV blowout win over Duke. Go hear it on the podcast with George. It's two podcasts back. But again, Gumbel, Clark Kellogg, Seth Davis, they have been there for going on probably close to 30 years right now with CBS. They are institutions at this point on the studio show, Phil.
Yeah, and I think that sort of is indicative of what CBS provides to this tournament. There's a familiarity. There's a, you know, feel to it. And, you know, when you've got names like that who have been around so long and doing it, it reinforces that when you hear their voice along with that music, along with, you know, kind of the look and feel of it all. It feels so comfortable, you know, every single March to tune in again. And, you know, that's a credit not just to the on-air talent, but also all the ones working behind the scenes on the production side. And, you know, the ones who originally dreamt all this up, you know, as far as, you know, we talked about it when you and I did that tribute to Billy Packer. You know, this wasn't what it always has been necessarily. You
right.
know, it's come a long way, you know, this tournament, the production, you know, the event of March Madness. And hats off to all the folks, including Billy Packer, the late Billy Packer, who contributed, you know, to what we see today with March Madness.
People can't fathom, because we're older, people can't fathom that in the late 70s, the early 80s, not every one of these games was even on TV. There were only a select few of them in the late 70s that would actually get on TV because they just didn't have the capability and didn't have a multi-channel deal to put them on. There was no internet. Satellite TV was just coming in. And then for the longest time, CBS would show some of the games live in the early 80s, but then tape delay other ones, because again, not having more than one channel and the capability of it, you would only see maybe two or three games on the Thursday of the first round. You would only see, I know this is hard to fathom, Phil, you know this, that you'd only see two or three games on Friday before it began to narrow down and they could show more of it. And they were showing games after the late local news at 11:30 at night, tape delay. I still remember watching Andre Turner, Keith Lee, and my Memphis State Tigers against Akeem Olajuwon, Clyde Drexler, and the Houston Cougars for the NCAA tournament, tape delayed on CBS at like midnight, 1 a.m. We're watching the rebroadcast of a taped game from earlier in the night. Man, we have it so much better. We have it so much easier, don't we, Phil, in the present day with all these games everywhere real quick?
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, you're taking me back. You know, I was school age back then, and those were school nights for me on those Thursdays.
Yes.
I was up that late watching it, just soaking it in. But, yeah, you know, it is just incredible how far it's come. You know, not just the – you know, the coverage on multiple networks, but obviously the technology, everybody can pull this up on their phone and so forth. And, you know, you could even just follow along on Twitter for all that, you know, matters, you know, as far as the amount of highlights that are produced and that kind of thing. So it's a whole different world, but it's great to see, you know, as far as sort of the tradition of the tournament and, you know, the, to me, back to basics, like the bread and butter of it, you know, the classic calls, the you know, the outro music, all those things add up to just a fun experience this time of year.
Well, there's no doubt. All right, so we'll look back real quick at conference tournament championships, including who did it well. It's always a fun listen to Dave Pasch and Bill Walton, but really, Phil, they had an exciting finish to the Arizona-UCLA game. Let's go back and relive that now off of ESPN's coverage and Dave Pasch's call as the Pac-12 tournament was ending in Las Vegas.
Critical that UCLA gets any possible rebound. He missed it. And Hawkes has the ball. They're not going to call timeout. 4 seconds left. Open. Andrews for the win.
No good.
Arizona wins for the second straight year the Pac-12 tournament title.
Phil DeMont Mullen, they were right on it there at the very end. That's 2 years in a row Arizona has won the tournament. They won it in dramatic fashion. Thoughts? That pairing is always fun and a great finish to that game late Saturday night.
Yeah, that was a rare Pasch and Walton clip that we heard there that doesn't include Walton. You know, I mean, he, you know, steals the show or overshadows Pasch so much. And, you know, it's constantly going viral. What's Walton saying and, you know, what sort of tangent he's on this kind of round. That was Pasch doing his thing. And I think sometimes it gets lost just how solid of a play by player he is. Obviously, you know, outstanding across multiple sports. And that was a great game that night. You know, I was really excited to see how that one went down. The crowd was wild there in Vegas. Walton was doing his thing, but at the same time, you know, hey, he knows when to back off a little bit and when it's crunch time and when the basketball has to take center stage. So kudos to him as well. That's Walton's last game of the season. So some people are in mourning, others are celebrating, I'm sure. But yeah, you know, always fun to have Pasch and Walton on the call. Walton's also been doing those Monday night shows with Jason Benetti on the NBA app, which is kind of a whole new alternate mm-hmm. presentation. So he'll keep going with those, I'm sure, through the rest of the NBA season. But another year with Pasch and Walton getting it done. Also, you know, kudos to Roxy Bernstein. He's another one who handles Bill Walton
yes.
know, for a lot of these games. We had him on the show earlier in the podcast's history. But, yeah, always fun to see those guys. And, yeah, what a game, UCLA, Arizona. Those are two teams I'll be watching during the tournament as well closely.
No doubt. And Dave Pasch, by the way, again, to reilluminate here, will be with Fran Fraschilla on the radio. Westwood One Radio's coverage from Denver coming Friday and Sunday to hear him there. Pasch, obviously multi-talented broadcaster for baseball. For basketball, but also with college football coverage for ESPN. And he's also the Arizona Cardinals play-by-play voice in the NFL. Very versatile for that. Okay, we don't want to leave them out. The NIT and the women's NCAA tournament, also NIT ongoing, women's tournament about to get underway, women's NCAA tournament about to get underway. What stands out about announcers and the different people that are involved? Because this is what we do on announcer schedules and the podcast.
Yeah, you know, the ESPN networks are showing the early rounds of the NIT right now as we're taping this. And I must confess, I spent more time watching the NIT games on Tuesday night than I did the first four. For whatever reason, my remote kept on flipping over to those games. And I don't know if it's, you know, just sort of the first four hasn't quite resonated with me the way perhaps it has with some folks. But, you know, I enjoyed going over to those NIT games quite a bit. And, you know, part of it is you get that many more announcers you get to tune in to. And yeah, all the usual suspects. You look at the list of play-by-players. We mentioned Roxy Bernstein. He was in Boulder, you know, for that one. You know, you got, you know, typical names like Roy Philpott and Doug Sherman and Mark Neely on the play-by-play mm-hmm. side, Drew Carter. And then analysts, you know, a lot of these familiar names. And by the way, you know, unlike, you know, CBS and TNT and TBS and True TV, these are all college basketball guys, you know, who have spent the whole season basically having multiple assignments every single week, you know, staying busy all year long with college basketball. So good for all of them to have sort of this reward of a few more games in the NIT, because, you look at the list of analysts and they're all very familiar. You know, if you follow the Twitter feed or you tune into any of these games, Corey Alexander, I mean, that guy's everywhere. He does games all over the place. He's been doing some NBA for ESPN Radio as well, some analyst work there. He even tried his hand as a play-by-player for a few games this year, working with Randolph Childress, Paul Biancardi, who's the recruiting expert, Fran Fraschilla. We mentioned him earlier. So he's going to, juggle Westwood One duties for the NCAA tournament and also some of these NIT games. Noah Savage, who's like an Ivy League expert, he'll be part of it. Perry Clark, the former coach, he's a couple seasons into his broadcasting career as well. Adrian Branch, he's been around a long time. Sean Farnham as well. So familiar names in the college basketball world on the NIT side of things.
Yep, and the women's tournament that's getting underway, that again ESPN and ABC will actually have as well, the women's championship game, that is getting underway. And any announcer pairings that stand out there for people that are watching, whether it's on the ESPN fleet of networks or the app, etc.?
Well, a few notables. First, on a personal affront, I'm actually heading to Knoxville on Saturday. I've got a supporting role with the ESPN2 and ABC broadcasts that are happening there, including, the Vols playing on their home court there. Pam Ward and Stephanie White will be the announcing team there in Knoxville. And then a couple others that come to mind, I noticed Beth Moens there with Christy Thomas Cuddy. Mm-hmm. Typically Moens is with Deb Antonelli, for so many of these type of games. Obviously Antonelli with an assignment with the NCAA tournament. They'll pair up later in the women's tournament once the men's NCAA assignment for Antonelli is complete. Tiffany Green is working with Jimmy Dykes.
That would be Tampa's Tiffany Green. Keep going, Tiffany Green, along with Jimmy Dykes, who at one time was also the Arkansas women's coach. I love that pairing, Phil DeMott-Mollin.
Yeah, really cool pairing, and kind of cool to see, a guy like Jimmy Dykes, who's been calling men's games all year long, shift over to the women's side. But like you said, he's got a lot of experience in the women's arena as well. And then, of course, I always, want to mention Dave O'Brien, again, talking about a versatile guy who's been at it a long, long time. I remember him back in his Marlins days, way back when he was getting his career going. But Dave O'Brien and Christy Winter Scott, one of the pairings as well. So women's tournament getting going also, get multiple screens, get your thumb going on the remote control. There is so much basketball going on at once. And, it's great to see the women's tournament as well, getting a lot of these, great pairings of announcers also, certainly a big, big product. And it's come a long way, since its early days, of course, as well, where every game is now televised also.
How to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Save big money at Menards. Gorilla tapes, glues, and adhesives are perfect for jobs around the house, indoors and out. Gorilla Heavy Duty Construction Adhesive has a 100% waterproof formula that provides a secure bond on any surface. From trim work to landscape block to hanging mirrors, it's all-purpose and holds in 30 seconds. Pick it up for your project and head to Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
And by the way, you're talking to somebody, I think you know this, who cut his teeth originally as the Memphis State women's play-by-play person. We were never fortunate enough to get into the NCAA tournament in the 2 years that I began my career doing that. And there wasn't even a women's NIT in the late 1980s. It did not start up till later after that. But I have much love for the women's game. Again, I've got twin daughters that are going to be 15 later this summer. They get into all the basketball, including the women's tournament. So we'll be watching as all of that unfolds. Lots and lots and lots of hoops. We continue for a few more minutes going over the hoops and the other sports as well here, Phil. And what about the NBA? Because the NBA schedule has had to kind of be abbreviated a little bit with all the Turner college coverage when they would usually have NBA games. Same thing with ESPN because of the women's tournament. So that's going to lessen things a little bit.
Yeah, so it is interesting where, you know, you're used to, you know, a TNT game or doubleheader on Thursdays. You're used to, you know, this time of year, the ABC game on Saturday night. With, you know, Mike Breen and company, you're seeing games on Sunday. You know, you notice the NBA on ESPN really kind of ramping up a lot of its, you know, programming once the NFL in football seasons ended. And now you're seeing the NBA step aside. And, you know, I wonder if part of it, too, is just, you know, for the betterment of the sport of basketball altogether, that, hey, there's no reason to shoehorn in NBA, you know, against all this college hoops. But yeah, ESPN had some games on Wednesday, but there won't be any ESPN or ABC games this weekend. Also of note, you know, you mentioned the women's tournament as a reason why ESPN sort of clears out. The college wrestling championships are going down this weekend also, and they're getting some nice, you know, placement also on the big ESPN network on Friday and Saturday nights. Mike Cousins, another guest of the podcast, is the play-by-player for the wrestling championships. We talked to Mike about the unique nature of being a play-by-play man of a college wrestling championship. A lot going on, and you know, you need to know that sport before you probably tackle it at that level. But you know, all the best to Mike this weekend at the wrestling championships, and you know, just kind of interesting. You know, as these, you know, the NBA clears out, and then as you alluded to, the NBA talent, you know, who we're used to seeing call these games on TNT,
that's right,
work in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, for these two Thursdays that come kicking in on the first round, and then the Sweet 16 games on the Thursday, that's where TNT Turner would normally have that doubleheader. But a lot of their announcers are doing that game. And speaking of filling up the ESPN platforms, including ABC, the National Hockey League is also a factor in this. The NHL will have its primetime game, and it will come on Saturday with the Rangers and the Penguins. So, I mean, there is something for everybody, and ESPN is busy with so much, hopping around with all the tournaments and the college hoops, usually having the NBA on ESPN and ABC, but the NHL is now back for a second season on ESPN. And that factors in during all the March Madness, is getting in NHL primetime games as well.
Yeah. And you know, and TNT, a partner with the NHL as well. And, you know, they had some games on Wednesday night on TNT, and yeah, you know, it's yet another offering. I mean, I'm sure there's some hardcore ice hockey fans who are going to tune into the NHL rather than, you know, March Madness, but it's right there for you. A big Saturday night game on ABC.
All right. Another thing that is of interest is the World Baseball Classic that is ongoing. Fox Sports and their platforms are televising this. You should know, Phil DeMott-Mullen, because you love the announcer talk and the announcer schedules. You're talking to a guy that worked the original World Baseball Classic. Then on XM satellite radio pre-merger, we had the exclusive radio coverage of the World Baseball Classic. And I got assigned to the opening round of the 2006 inaugural World Baseball Classic in San Juan, Puerto Rico. I was there for the pool action with Puerto Rico and Cuba. Tom Pachorek Wimpy, Tom Pachorik and I did World Baseball Classic games. I don't want to admit that was 17 years ago in the opening World Baseball Classic that had sites everywhere. I still remember they were playing a pool in Arizona, in Phoenix. They played one in Japan. They played one a couple of other places before it all narrowed down. So just say something about the World Baseball Classic, and we even want to set up a great play-by-play call to get baseball fans fired up for the upcoming baseball season. Go ahead, Phil.
Yeah, I mean, it continues to kind of bring me into it more and more as each one comes around. And I remember living down in Miami, and they're a host again this year. And with the international flavor of the Metropolitan down there, I mean, the World Baseball Classic, it was a tough ticket. Fans were going berserk for this thing. Frankly, much better attended and much better supported than the Marlins themselves. But, it makes for some really interesting drama. You know, there's enough MLB players now, who come from these different places that there's a sprinkling of them on most of the teams and so forth. And, in terms of the announcers and the TV coverage of it, it's kind of interesting. There's a world feed, for the majority of the games, and Fox Sports also has their hand in this. MLB Network is doing a lot of the production on the world feed side. I think it's part of their umbrella as far as how that's originating. But then Fox Sports for some games is using their announcers, that number one team of Joe Davis, John Smoltz, and Ken Rosenthal, they've done some games, including the games, one of the games, including the USA, at least one of them. And then Jason Benetti, moved into Davis's spot for a couple of those games as well. But then a lot of familiar names also. Rich Waltz, who's a personal favorite of mine dating back to his Marlins days, mm-hmm. With Buck Martinez. They've been doing a lot of those games in Phoenix. Dave Fleming, who's obviously a familiar voice. I saw a couple people wondering, what's Dave Fleming doing on FS1? And, in a panic, whether there was some, news or happening or whatnot. But it was simply the case. Fleming and Yonder Alonso, the former Miami Hurricane, doing the games in Miami. And the two of them are doing it for the world feed, but FS1 picks it up. And that's mm-hmm. the same situation with a couple of announcer teams who are in the another continent on the other side of the world in Asia. Steven Nelson and Jose Moda in Tokyo, and then Tyler Maughan and Ryan Roland Smith in Taiwan.
And I know you want to say a little more about Tyler Maughan, because I don't really know that name. I'm getting acclimated to different announcers, and you help with this all the time. And we want to set up a great call of his and play it here on the podcast. Go ahead, Phil.
Yeah, so Tyler Maughan, it's kind of fascinating. And I think, the Twitter feed at Announcer Skeds has been a small part of it, actually, because Tyler Maughan has started to go viral and his name is on the rise suddenly. And I didn't know much about him until, these games came around. He's been in Taiwan of all places. Mm-hmm. So, he's doing his work there. I tried to do some research on him, exactly what his background was. He's a Denver guy, done work for Altitude Sports, voice of University of Denver, has done some minor league baseball over the years, but I had not, how many announcer names I type, across the 365 days a year or what have you. I had never typed his name before until the World Baseball Classic. So, I was getting to know him for the first time too. And some of his calls have been great. And, the public and the baseball community and so forth is starting to gravitate to him a little bit. So this could be a real springboard for Tyler's career.
And what are we about to hear on the clip here for the audience on the Announcer Schedules podcast? Set that up here. This is from World Baseball Classic action again in Taiwan, as you mentioned. So go ahead.
Yeah, this was one of these games, Chinese Taipei versus the Netherlands, home stadium situation where the place is absolutely going berserk, the long balls are starting to, make their way out of the park. And, these games, some of them have been happening at like 5 or 6 a.m. Eastern time. I mean, if you're a serious insomniac with the amount of sports that we have going on and the amount of sports programming, and you're still tuning into that, you know, hey, hats off to you. But, you know, by the time I got up, you know, some of these clips, you know, were getting circulated in that kind of thing. And, you know, I really look at this, you know, not just this clip, but some of the other ones from Tyler, but his whole experience at the World Baseball Classic. And he's kind of, you know, shared some of these thoughts himself on social media, how it's been just such a, you know, a wonderful experience for him and you know, a just kind of a game changer, it seems, in his career.
All right, so let's listen to this now. Here is that clip.
2-1. A swing and another drive to deep left center field. Eugene has done it again!
Again, that's courtesy of Fox Sports, the world feed of Tyler Mahon. In Taiwan, and I can just follow up. I know it was 17 years ago. The atmosphere was berserk and bedlam in San Juan, as you can imagine, for Puerto Rico playing Cuba even then. Rivalry situation with that. So they're all around the globe. They are interested in this, including in the Far East, including in the U.S. and Mexico, everywhere where baseball is played. So good stuff on the World Baseball Classic. All right, we wind it down with a couple of more things. I know that you want to mention a tribute, somebody that has done what you enjoy doing in terms of stats and stats for TV and radio broadcasters. They are always so valuable in helping broadcast a game, and a statistical legend intertwined with so many different big time broadcasters, in particular at CBS, has passed away recently. Go ahead, Phil, with more on that.
Yeah, you know, some sad news these last couple of days as we're taping this podcast. Pat McGrath, you know, passed away. And, you know, the average, you know, viewer of, you know, television sports might not know that name, probably doesn't. But he has been one of the preeminent top of the craft, talent statisticians in the business for decades. And he's worked with big, big names. You know, he's Jim Nance's right-hand guy. He works as many games for Kevin Harlan as he possibly can. He's done a ton with Dave Pasch also. He worked the Monday Night Football package with Steve Levy. And then dating back to earlier in his career, he worked with huge names like Jack Buck and Lindsey Nelson. And, you know, there's a... Having done this myself on a freelance and part-time basis for, you know, the past 20 years or so, I would see Pat every once in a while at a gig. And, you know, perhaps I was, you know, working on one of the radio calls and Pat was doing network TV or what have you. And it was always kind of amazing to me that he got so many places. You know, we talk about the announcers' mm-hmm. schedules and their travels and so forth. But Pat was one of the few guys. There's a small handful, TJ, of talent statisticians who turn it into a full-time job and literally stay busy 12 months a year. Road warriors. And it's live not like
of,
they are,
like, if I can interject, live out of airports, live out of hotels, and are constantly somewhere at a game multiple times a week. Absolutely.
Yeah. And you know, in that statistician role, typically you've got the flexibility to work for multiple networks too. So they are all over the place, you know, for just cramming in as many games mm-hmm. as they possibly can. And Pat was one of those guys. And I remember I had some duties on a Westwood One, I want to say it's either a Sunday night. It must have been a Monday night call of a Dolphins game. And Pat McGrath, like, got in there just at the nick of time because he was traveling from Seattle or someplace on the West Coast, you know, the day, and there was delays and all this stuff. But somehow, you know, they always seem to make it work and get there on time and pull it off. And, you know, I've seen some great tributes from some of the announcers, you know, and, you know, talking about how Pat, you know, not only, you know, would help them on game days, but even if a game he wasn't working, he would provide some nuggets and that kind of thing. He'll go to the crew of the, you know, say he's doing a TV game and there's a national radio crew on site at the same time. Pre-game, he'll stop by their group and say, hey guys, I want to share a couple of these with you so you have them as well. I mean, just a classic tradesman in terms of the talent statistician role. And for anyone who doesn't really know what that is, basically, you know, when you hear anything numerical on a television broadcast from the announcer, it's coming from a guy like Pat, you know, he's feeding the numbers and the stats and the notes to the announcer, also helping the truck as well as they're building graphics and that kind of thing. But McGrath is one of the guys who wrote the book on this trade of talent statistician, one of, you know, the elite, no doubt. And yeah, some sad news this past week that, you know, he's no longer with us, but, you know, he left a big legacy and he helped a lot of young statisticians, you know, like myself, you know, kind of, hey, this is the way you're supposed to approach this job. And this is how you can be of service to any given broadcast.
That is well said on all of that. Here's the tribute they did during the first four broadcasts on True TV. Tom McCarthy is the play-by-play guy doing the tribute to Pat McGrath and how much he meant to play-by-play guys for decades.
Halftime here at Uni Arena. It is with deep sadness that we share the news of our longtime colleague and friend, Pat McGrath, who passed away yesterday. Pat was one of the premier sports statisticians in the business, working on a variety of major events throughout his legendary career. In fact, in his phone, he kept a list of all the play-by-play and analysts that he worked with. It was in the hundreds. Guys like Lindsey Nelson, Jack Buck, Jim Nantz, Kevin Harlan. It goes back decades, 30 years of NCAA tournaments he was part of alongside Jim Nantz. We send our deepest condolences to Pat's family. He will be greatly missed.
Very fitting, and the outpouring has been everywhere really for the last two or three days from announcers about how much this guy helped them and was willing to sacrifice time, effort, travel, all of that. So rest in peace, Pat McGrath, for sure. You want to end it on a happy note here. It's March. We got to get something exciting and pep everybody up. You want to pep them up with a little last second buzzer beater national championship call? Is that what you want to do here to wrap it up?
You remember 1983 national championship
do
game?
I? Yeah. How can you
Houston,
forget? How can
mighty
you forget
Houston? You know, just the one of the just the absolute classics. You know, this clip. It's not like we're doing something completely original here or anything like that, but an absolute classic. People, you know, certainly remember, you know, Billy Packer. We had a whole show on him a while back, TJ, but play-by-player on this one was Gary Bender, you know, and so sometimes he kind of gets lost in the sauce a little bit. But what a moment of the 1983 NCAA championship game. And of course, you know, Jimmy V, you know, and his reaction as well.
All right. So let's go back to that night in March of 83. Here's the way it sounded on the CBS TV call.
Drive to the basket. It's down to 7 seconds. You can see the time. Wittenberg. Oh, it's a long.
Yeah, the amazing ending to beat Phi Slamajama, who was seemingly invincible. Jim Valvano's team played a remarkable slowdown kind of game, and Houston was not accustomed to it, unraveled, missed free throws, and Derek Wittenberg, who still claims to this day that that was a pass. Sorry, Derek, it wasn't a pass. The late Lorenzo Charles was heads up enough to see that the ball was a foot or two short, caught it on the way down, and dunked it in to end the game. And Jim Valvano, as you mentioned, Phil, was just looking for somebody to hug at the pit in Albuquerque, running around. What an epic moment. And it helped launch the idea that this event could become what it's become, and you could see every game. CBS could find a way to eventually televise every game if they could, and now with different partners, televise every game of the NCAA tournament. That helped it that night in Albuquerque, NC State, and Phi Slamajama Houston. How about that?
Yeah, just awesome memory there. And, you know, it's yet another reminder of just the magic of March Madness. We're going to have all sorts of moments, you know, maybe not with the stakes quite as high as that in the championship game. Oftentimes the championship game doesn't quite deliver the way the early rounds do. But we're going to have a bunch of buzzer beaters. It just goes. It never fails, you know, how the March Madness always delivers. And, you know, can't wait to get it going this weekend.
It never disappoints. The magic, the charm of this thing with a little guy gets the shot at the big guy. I will say this again. It started last week. When we started seeing Ohio State winning games and teams with losing records getting conference tournament title games, you're going to see 10 games, 10 of them this weekend that don't have an explanation. How did that team with a double digit in front of their number hang with or beat the bigger guy? That's what this is all about. We can't wait on that. Final thoughts and comments. I've had a blast sitting here with you in for Mike Gill, who's on vacation this weekend. Mike will be back with you coming up. Final thoughts from you as we put a wrap on the Announcer Schedules podcast and get ready for all the mayhem of the hoops and everything else.
Yeah, I just can't wait to get it going. You know, I encourage folks to check out the Twitter feed if you want to follow along as far as all the announcers goes at Announcer Skeds. You know, it is the time of year not only to, you know, enjoy all this basketball, but if you're a fan, which I'd imagine a lot of our listeners are, of, you know, television broadcasting and how all that works, you know, just, you know, some great work being done behind the scenes also. And what an opportunity to kind of just take in, you know, these broadcasts, not just on the television side, but also Westwood One does a wonderful job on the NCAA tournament. You know, you're able to listen to those games in your car or from your device and so forth. And, you know, I was actually checking out a little bit of Emmerich and Crispin also, you know, last night, you know, so that was fun. So, you know, really looking forward to all this. And I hope, you know, all the listeners enjoy March Madness as much as you and I will, TJ. Mm. And I hope our buddy Mike Gill is enjoying the Florida sunshine, you know, down there in Clearwater where the Phillies have their spring training also. Can't wait to catch up with him also. But hey, big thanks to you, TJ, not only, you know, co-hosting today's show with me, but also all the support you give, you know, as far as us getting this thing off the ground. What, you know, we're on episode 40, TJ. So, you know, we've covered some ground since this idea was birthed once upon a time.
Yes. And you and Mike have done a tremendous job. I just kind of played matchmaker, eHarmony, on putting you guys together. You've done the rest. Keep up the great work with the Announcer Schedules podcast. Fantastic stuff as always as part of the Last Word on Sports media podcast feed. lastwordonsports.com/podcast to find out more about it. And again, as Phil mentioned, Announcer Skeds, S-K-E-D-S, is the Twitter handle where you find out more on this. My privilege to be with you here, young man. Happy March. Happy mayhem. Just take consolation in the fact, just like everybody else, everybody's bracket's going to be blown up. By 5 o'clock Friday afternoon, it's over for everybody. And then we're just going to enjoy the basketball. The upsets are coming. You just got to figure out where that all of it's coming. Phil, I enjoyed it. Great stuff. Thank you, as always, on the Announcer Schedules podcast. I appreciate being able to keep the seat warm for Mike Gill.
Thanks, TJ. Appreciate it.
And we thank you for listening. Make sure to follow or subscribe. Last Word on Sports Media podcast feed. That's where you find us with the Announcer Schedules podcast.
Mike Rowe here with a few thoughts on my favorite sweatshirt. A classic zip-up hoodie that used to be navy blue but has since faded to what the fashionistas call a distressed indigo. It's 13 years old, soft as a flannel bathrobe, and after a few hundred dirty jobs, demonstrably and undeniably indestructible. This is the kind of sweatshirt girlfriends like to permanently borrow, but I've held on to this one because I got it from American Giant. American Giant makes all their stuff right here in the USA so they can control every link in their own supply chain. That matters, because when you buy American Giant, you not only get great quality, you create jobs for people in factory towns all over the country. No pressure, but if you give a damn about the business of making things in America, you got to support the companies who are doing it right. Go to American-Giant.com/Mike to get 20% off your first order. That's American-Giant.com/Mike.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.